At Vanguard, you're more than just an investor. You're an owner. That means your priorities are Vanguard's too. So whether you're planning for retirement or trying to save up for your next big adventure, Vanguard will work alongside you to set personalized investment goals. That's the value of ownership. All investing is subject to risk. Vanguard is owned by its funds, which are owned by Vanguard's fund shareholder clients. Vanguard Marketing Corporation Distributor.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I don't know when it's going to be, but when Lawrence runs for office, I'm voting for you. I want to. I don't care what office it is, because that was the most political answer I've ever seen. You just spent 30 seconds talking about nothing. You didn't answer the question at all.
What's the question? But
I love how you keep inflicting Atlanta Falcons fandom on Lawrence when he said that after 28-3 he slept like a baby.
Yeah, was snoring and drooling.
Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, served by Applebee's.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Happy Hour. I'm Connor Rogers alongside Lawrence Jackson, Jay Croucher. Matthew Berry, a little travel problems.
That's not Matthew Berry.
That is not Matthew Berry.
I am an impersonator. I am Matthew Berry. I'm just wearing a costume that look like that dude named Lawrence that comes on his show sometime. So it is me. It is Matthew. We'll run with that.
That's absolutely right. Off the top, Lawrence. Lawrence the politician.
Yeah.
You just always have to defend yourself on this show.
Our beloved Matthew Berry, who isn't here with us today, he likes to try to back me to a corner and tries to make me the Desmond Ridder QB1 supporter. But we might be talking about some other quarterback news today. Another guy got a bench besides Desmond Ridder.
Just before I ruin your segue, Lawrence, it does feel like with Matthew on the show, it's like we went to Deron Bland, went up against DK Metcalf. Feels like we're always just Deron Bland. Just kind of do not get burned.
Recovery
deep. Yeah. Give everything. And Deron Bland got a pick in that game at the end.
So right. There's a lot of hope for you. Yes. He's had quite a few of those this year. Listen, we have a lot to do today. We're going to get through who's eating good, and we'll debate and keep it open or close it out with Breece Hall, Amari Cooper. Obviously, they're eating good. Our version of start sit in just a bit. And as we always do on Wednesday, our early line alert, some point totals and spreads that we really, really like. But before we get anywhere, championship managers, you are most likely the ones still rocking with us. So you drink free today here at the Happy Hour. Yeah, Shout out.
Congratulations.
Championship week fantasy managers. We're glad to still have you here. Let's jump into the Roto World player news. For all your player news, go to NBCSports.com. And Lawrence, we'll get right back to where you kicked us off with. Jacoby Brissett will start on Sunday. This is from the official Washington Commanders account. It is truly unbelievable that on the Matthew doesn't really miss a lot of time with this show. He's not here when the Commanders make the big switch to Jacoby Brissett, assumingly to close out this season. But we did get a reaction from Matthew. Don't worry, we will roll that in just a second. Of course, he is live tweeting his reaction. But Jay, isn't this a little bit odd in a scenario where you have a young quarterback that's had a roller coaster of a season? He struggled a bit against the Jets, but there's been bright spots for him. And a guy in Brissett, who we know what he could do, but he's on a one-year deal. He's probably not a part of their long-term future, to just not go with the young guy the last two games of the season?
Well, firstly, couldn't be happy that Matthew's not here today, because we would have lost 25 minutes of the show to Jacoby Brissett, but we'll get Matthew's reaction. Secondly, makes a lot of sense as the Commanders continue their late push towards the playoffs. No, they should be losing games. I don't understand this at all. I mean, it helps them in terms of on the field, but they shouldn't want help on the field. The line has dropped from 49ers 13.5 to 49ers 12.5. So that's what Sam Howell, going out, future Hall of Famer, does to the line in this spot, but no, I don't understand the point of this whatsoever. You should be trying to get Sam Howell reps. It's also a perfect spot because you can get him reps and you can continue to lose games because I think he's worse than Jacoby Brissett. So I don't know. I don't know if this is Ron Rivera trying to save face and try and save his job, which probably isn't savable at this point, but doesn't make a great deal of sense.
All right, let's take a look at Matthew's reaction since he's not here today. He said, this upgrades the offense in the short term and sets back the franchise longer term. Sigh, the new era can't get here soon enough. And with that, Lawrence, I think that's the truth. This is a team right now that they're projected to finish with a top five selection. You can assume that that top five selection can be used on a top quarterback, one of the top tackles, one of the top wide receivers, a blue chip player. And the reality is maybe not this week, but Jacoby Brissett does give them a better chance to win and move that draft slot back.
And that's clear. We saw him come in the last two games, and the offense was night and day with him in there. They looked like they was going to lose 50-0 against the Jets. Jacoby Brissett brought him back. It is weird, though. Like, when you look at the Falcons' situation, they're still alive in their division, so the benching of Desmond Ridder is understandable. You've seen what you've seen. This is what I think about this. Because they're out of the playoffs, right? Because the Commanders are out of the playoffs, it's like, one, I do think it's part of Ron Rivera trying to say, well, hell, I know I'm out of here anyway. I might as well try to win me some games. But knowing that they're out of the playoffs and you're benching a young quarterback, it kind of makes me believe that they'll be in the market for that possibly once this next draft cycle come out. You mentioned having a top five pick, and a lot of the talk has been on the Bears taking the quarterback, but now you have both the Patriots and the Commanders in that position, and both of those teams will be looking for new quarterbacks as well. So that's kind of what I took for it, because in any other event, you rather just see Sam Howell play. But what's been proven is if he don't throw the ball a lot, the stats won't be there. In the last two opponents he had, last three rather, didn't really give him a chance to do that. So I don't know. It's just the whole Commanders thing is just weird right now. I don't feel sorry for Matthew about it, though.
No, me neither. I think the other thing just to mention before we move on is that their last two games are against the 49ers and the Cowboys, so it probably doesn't matter.
Right.
Either way, maybe they just don't want to completely decimate Sam Howell's confidence, who seems like he's trending in the wrong direction against a couple of tough defenses, a couple of tough pass rushes. So I don't think it really matters.
And quick thing, too, Brock Purdy is close to being the last man standing from that quarterback draft class last year, because I think Kenny Pickett being out right now, that might be saving him a little bit. I don't know, but we'll see. Brock Purdy, last man standing, is Mr. Irrelevant.
It could go down as a historically bad draft class when you look across the board. Let's jump into the injuries we're tracking. Obviously, these will matter a lot to you on championship week, even if you're playing in for consolation money as well. Trevor Lawrence dealing with a shoulder injury. That one is trending towards him not playing. Lawrence has played through everything this year, guys. I think we have finally reach the point that he might have to sit. C.J. Stroud's back at practice today, so positive news for C.J. Stroud coming out of concussion protocol. We'll see if he can get ready in time to play. Brock Purdy had the stinger. Josh Jacobs still dealing with the quads. We will keep an eye on that one with Zamir White. We talked about him during waiver pickups yesterday. Zach Moss trying to get healthy with the forearm. Same with Michael Pittman Jr. in concussion protocol. Jordan Addison with the ankle injury. Cortland Sutton with the concussion. Zay Jones with a hamstring injury. And Cole Kmet dealing with a knee. But let's jump into hearing from Doug Peterson on Trevor Lawrence's mountain list of injuries here, guys.
All the injuries that he has sustained are all hits, all contact stuff, and it's part of it, and that's his style and that's his aggressiveness, and he's been fortunate enough to bounce back from all of them. So we'll see as he goes this week where he's at. But, we've been fortunate that he's been able to be available every week so far.
What's your concern level that maybe the team is starting to tune out a little bit? I don't know if it's tune out your message or tune out the coach's message, because, again, we've asked every week and it's been sort of the same issues that have cropped up every week.
I don't think that's happening. I've had conversations with players the last couple of days, and guys are still locked in and focused, and they know. Listen, I might have said this after the game. I mean, it's not like they're going out there and trying to, you know, make these mistakes, right? I mean, we just have to be more aware of what's happening. And as coaches, we got to keep continuing to coach them up and put them in, put our players in positions to be successful on game day. So I don't feel like they're, you know, tuning out at all.
Jay, the good news for Jacksonville is they have Carolina this week, so it's a game they can get by, assuming Lawrence has to miss some time. The bad news is right now, this is a division that's wide open and slipping away from them quickly.
Yeah, it is. They just seem like a mess, particularly defensively. I think from a fantasy perspective, if it is C.J. Beathard behind an offensive line that has struggled and an offense that is really off-kilter at the moment, obviously you have to downgrade Calvin Ridley, you downgrade Evan Engram. Obviously, everyone gets worse. Now, Travis Etienne, he might be a bit more immune to that because Carolina's run defense has really struggled. They might lean on him more. If it is Beathard, though, you would still prefer Lawrence just because of the greater touchdown potential. In terms of football, I mean, their season is just completely derailed. It wasn't that long ago where they were in control of their own destiny to get the one seed in the AFC. Now, all of a sudden, now they have an easy schedule. They play the Panthers, and then they close at the Titans. But those aren't layups with the way this team is playing. No team is a layup. Bryce Young is coming off his best game as a professional, so I think it's hugely open for the Colts or the Texans, particularly because those teams play each other in Week 18, and someone has to win that game, and that could be for the division.
Yeah, and you talk about the – it's like there's a lot of injuries on all of these teams, and it's making it like, hey, it's the AFC South is saying, hey, somebody come get it. You mentioned the downgrading all the Jaguars' pass weapons in fantasy. I don't know if it's, you know, they could possibly be not better per se, but they may hold up at least with a healthy C.J. Beathard as opposed to an injured Trevor Lawrence. And, you know, he's got the starter streak going right now, but it may be to the point where he might have to miss a game. But Calvin really hasn't been productive in 3-4 games regardless. So, that's tough on that end. When you look at the Texans could be in a prime spot, especially looking at the Colts, how they lost to the Falcons. Getting C.J. Stroud back this week against Tennessee, that would be big for them. He'd be the lone starting quarterback left, you know, depending on how long Ryan Tannehill keeps playing. But this would be a perfect spot for C.J. Stroud to come in, win these last two games, and kind of get back a hold of that rookie of the year that he's got going on. And you know who needs him in fantasy? Nico Collins, who just caught 4 targets for 18 yards and a touchdown. So you would think no Tank Dell, Nico Collins to, as they say, the moon, but it's not like that when you shuffling out backup quarterbacks.
As we take a look here at the AFC South, the odds to win the division along with the remaining schedule, Jacksonville is the heavy favorite at minus 175 because what you highlighted, Jay, they have the Panthers and then the Titans, the Colts at plus 350 over there. They have the Raiders, who are obviously a tough out right now. Then the Texans, if Stroud is back healthy, that completely changes the dynamic of the team. Now the Texans are still down the board a little bit here as they have Tennessee and the Colts. So the fact is they have 2 division games, which absolutely helps. But this odds board, Jay, seems to be assuming that Jacksonville's able to handle business with or without Trevor Lawrence in these final 2 games.
Yeah, I could not touch Jacksonville at minus 175 at this current price, just because uncertainty around Lawrence, even if he does play, is probably limited. Their defense is all over the place at the moment. They just got eviscerated by the Bucs. And I know the Bucs are a good story, but that shouldn't be happening. So my bet right now, and I think you guys like the Colts, I would probably be on the Texans, just because C.J. Stroud is practicing today, expecting that he will likely come back. So they're 4.5-point favorites over the Titans. Then they go to an Indianapolis team that's coming off a really bad loss to Atlanta. Having watched an ungodly amount of that game, wasn't a very good one. Blake Freeland at right tackle, he's just getting lit up playing in place of Braden Smith. They really need Braden Smith back. And if it is Blake Freeland again, Gardner Minshew needs the most help that he can possibly get. So the Texans, and really more to the point, C.J. Stroud would be my bet in that division at the moment.
I like that call, too, as it stands here today. Definitely like your best bet in looking at the odds. I think me and Connor's bet on the Colts was preseason.
August.
And feeling like, you know, they'd have Anthony Richardson. And as I'm watching the Colts the past few weeks and I'm seeing them with their record, they're 8-6, go, you know, and all I keep thinking about was, man, damn, if they had Anthony Richardson, they'd be at least two wins better, possibly, man. But it's just the team is well coached, you could tell. But then there's something, you get some great things out of Minshew sometimes. But then again, games like the Falcons versus the Falcons where it's not as great.
Yeah, he's had some fantasy impact, but that hasn't always translated to being a consistent quarterback. Look at the quarterback turmoil in this division, guys. I mean, when you just think about it, from what Tennessee's gone through, getting that look at Levis when Tannehill gets hurt, what Jack Lawrence has played hurt almost the entire year. Stroud with a concussion against the Jets was a significant concussion. It wasn't just one where he's in and out of protocol after 5 days. And obviously, when you just look across the board as well at the Colts, we talked about the loss of a guy that was taken in the top five to be a savior of the offense under Steichen. The quarterback turmoil in this division, in a year where it's been across the league, I think this division's the headliner of it.
Is this, I don't know this for a fact, but this might be the only division that has had multiple starting quarterbacks on every team. This might be the one division that has that. If Trevor Lawrence doesn't,
I would think so.
If he doesn't, now there's a lot of starting quarterbacks this season.
Right.
58 is the, I think Mason Rudolph was the 58th one, but I think the AFC South might be the only one where every team in the division has started multiple quarterbacks.
Yep. Well, it'd be the NFC South if not for the great Baker Mayfield,
right,
who came into the season as literally the guy most likely to be benched, and he's the one who has held on to his job and is thriving.
Last man standing. Yeah. And even he's played through multiple injuries as well. It's been that kind of season.
Might be having his best season, matter of fact.
At least since the early Cleveland.
That Cleveland 11-game stretch where they went to playoffs, that was a good little run, but as a totality, you know, especially if they make the playoffs.
Yeah, it's a good world to have Mike Evans in sometimes.
Yeah.
All right, let's jump into who's eating good. Of course, served by Applebee's. These are the players that are coming off monster weeks, and we're simply asking, can they keep it going? Amari Cooper, what more needs to be said about Amari Cooper? This was the second most fantasy points in a game this season, Jay. The problem is, on the short week now, he's got the Jets, and the Jets secondary has been very good against wide receivers this year. He could play in the slot a little bit and maybe get away from Sauce Gardner or DJ Reed, but a matchup downgrade for a guy that's been absolutely insane with Joe Flacco.
Yeah, particularly last week. Last week was just a farce. It just descended into the realm of comedy, what he was doing in that game. It was ridiculous. Now he gets a huge upgrade in terms of opponent. I mean, the Texans, they're just down so many guys on that defense, missing Will Anderson, Blake Cashman, Jimmy Ward goes down in this game too after only a few snaps. So it's going to be tougher. But at the same time, Connor, interested for your thoughts. Like, why did the Jets give up 28 points to the Commanders? Are they less imposing of a defense than they were a few weeks ago?
Yeah, they took their foot off the gas. They stopped tackling. I think that Brissett was more decisive. For as good as the Jets' defense is, they are not, you know, the 85 Bears in a sense where you can't do anything against them, especially when they start to play with a lead. It felt like they got a little bit lackadaisical. And Lawrence, to me, Amari Cooper, I'm not saying for who's eating good this is going to remain, but to think he can't get another 15 to 20 points in a need where a week where you're starting him no matter what, he's not a guy that I'm thinking is, you know, he can get through this and be fine.
He could definitely walk away from this game with 100 yards. We just saw Jalen Waddle do that to them the other week. And one thing is for certain, Joe Flacco is going to, has been, and will continue to let it rip. Just piling up games where he throws it 40-plus times each game. And Amari Cooper said it himself, and I believe him. He said can't nobody guard him. It's already tough to guard a receiver one-on-one. When you have a guy like Amari Cooper who has done this now, 200-plus receiving yards in the game for three teams now, he's still got that in his tank. It just takes him one big play. They could be shutting down, you know, Cooper in the passing game for the whole game, and then it just takes one deep ball. Like, we saw, like, this is consistent with Joe Flacco and Amari Cooper. So while I don't expect it to be another 200-yard day or even 150 yards, but we know that Joe Flacco is looking for him early and often.
Where do you rank him this week, Lawrence?
I have him at 16 this week.
Top 20 play.
If it wasn't for them playing against the New York Jets in that secondary, he would be inside my top 10 for sure.
The sneaky thing with the Browns as well is that we focus on the fact they've had four quarterbacks, they lost Nick Chubb, they lost all these guys on defense too, but they're also missing both of their starting tackles in Jedrick Wills, Jack Conklin, and DeJuan Jones. Yeah, right. The next guy up, he goes down as well. And this is why I think Kevin Stefanski is your coach of the year, just this absurd amount of injuries they've dealt with. But the upshot of losing those tackles is they can't run the ball at all at the moment. And against Houston, they were able to do whatever they wanted through the air, but they just could not run the ball whatsoever. And so they have to throw. They have to take these shots deep. And Flacco is such a perfect complement for their defense because the defense is so good. And Flacco is just going to connect on some of these deep balls, and he has to throw them because they can't run it at the moment.
He's going to throw a couple of picks. Yeah. But when it comes to Amari Cooper, that won't affect him in fantasy. Yeah. Furthermore, they beat the Jets tomorrow night. They clinched that playoff spot, so they're definitely motivated to do that.
And they could do it at home. All right, our next player in the same game, Breece Hall. He's got the Browns on the short week at Cleveland. Breece Hall absolutely demolished Matthews' Commanders. 20 rushes, 95 yards, two touchdowns on the ground, but what was the bonus to get him to over 43 points was the 12 catches for 96 yards. Lawrence, with Trevor Siemian under center, he has no problem checking it down to Breece over and over again. Even on games that he won't be able to get in the end zone on the ground twice, that's the value in Breece Hall.
Bruh, 16 targets for a right running back. This is like, that's like some old Ladainian Tomlinson type
Marshall
stuff,
Falk.
Man. Yeah, man. Four out of the last five games, Breece Hall has at least 8 targets. So, he could run into a wall versus this Cleveland Browns defense in the running game. You could have, 12 carries for 30 yards or what have you. But like you said, and Trevor Siemian threw the ball 49 times last week, which was...
Tried to throw it 49 times.
Right, which was a bit of a shock to me. But again, 16 of those were checkdowns and intermediate throws to Garrett Wilson as well. So it's not like he ain't letting it rip like Flacco. So this is a good thing for Breece Hall and even Garrett Wilson as well. I think in this particular game, I have him ranked this week as the running back 10. So it'll be tougher because it's Cleveland. But he's not going to need a touchdown to give you a double-digit fantasy day.
Yeah, I think this is also one of the biggest disparities ever in NFL history between the quality of a pass defense and the quality of an opposing quarterback, particularly when you factor in the Jets' offensive line. This Cleveland pass defense is historic statistically, and Siemian is not good at the moment. And the Browns, their run defense is still good. It's still above average, but it's not the same level as their pass defense. It's the number 9 run defense in the NFL. Breece Hall clearly is no concerns about workload or health or whatever. They're just running him into the ground. And we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but I mean, Christian McCaffrey is your number 1 running back next season in drafts. Breece Hall might be number 2.
Yeah,
and it's bizarre to say like Kyron Williams might be.
I would say Kyron Williams, but Breece Hall, like, so easily top 5.
Yeah.
That's easy. The question is he the third one? Because I would go CMC and then Kyron Williams. But yeah, you know he's going to be there. You got guys like Josh Jacobs, Tony Pollard with contract situations. So you know Breece is going to be there. So yeah, that's a first-round pick to me.
All right. It sounds like Jarrett Stidham is starting, guys. We have some breaking news on the show. Kind of a shock here, right? See a team that's had a great second half. Russell Wilson has kind of been turned into game manager. We understand the money and the injury guarantees and the problem with this contract, but the Broncos, Sean Payton moves to his guy, I guess, and Jarrett Stidham.
Man, it's crazy. We found this out like a couple of minutes before. For those that don't know, Derek Carr was in a similar situation last year with the Raiders where they had to bench him as well. So I think we know if they had beat the Patriots, they probably don't make this move.
Right.
But it's still kind of crazy seeing as that they're still alive in the playoffs. But that $37 million in 2025, with $37 million owed to Russell in 2025 looming, I guess Sean Payton said we got to make a team move. Maybe the call came from the top. Maybe they don't think they'll make the playoffs. And like you said, man, Russell Wilson this year, 26 touchdowns against 8 interceptions. I mean, this is what we wanted from Russell this year. Like, we didn't expect him to go back to being a top 3 MVP candidate. We just want him to do a lot better than what he did last year. He's done that, but the team doesn't win. That's what make these decisions happen, and with the Raiders winning too. So You know, it's definitely interesting to say the least. I would say that this move for to put Stidham in is more puzzling than, you know, the Commanders going right to Brissett.
Well, we know Brissett's an upgrade. While we can't confidently say that about Stidham over Russell Wilson right now.
No, and he's almost certainly a downgrade, I would thought. Although I will say that Stidham last year, and I'll never forget this because I wagered heavily on the San Francisco 49ers against the Las Vegas Raiders in week 17, I believe. Stidham was magnificent in that game. I still wake up in cold sweats about Jared Stidham because the Niners needed an overtime to win that game somehow as double-digit favorites. But, I mean, he can fling it around, but he doesn't have Devontae Adams to throw to or Josh Jacobs to hand off to. So it's not great for the Denver pass receivers. It's a matchup that's relatively kind against the Chargers. But this is bad news for the Broncos from a fantasy perspective.
Right.
Real-life perspective, I mean, this team doesn't make the playoffs. They're only a 5% chance to, but it's a material chance. And we're only 2 weeks removed from Sean Payton, Coach of the Year buzz, and Russell Wilson, Comeback Player of the Year buzz. Obviously, that's all torpedoed now. But, I mean, their season isn't over. They lost two games to the Chargers and the Raiders. They win those two, and they're a chance to make the playoffs. So, I don't know. I guess that's just the structure of contracts and how it works, but it's not a great look.
I think that point, too, makes it even more crazy because they're playing the Raiders in the Chargers. It's not like they're about to face the Ravens and the Bills back-to-back here, you know. It's right there. Maybe they want to make the playoffs with Jared Stidham. I don't know. We'll see. But definitely a downgrade for all Broncos offensive weapons.
All right, we'll finish Keep It Open, or not Keep It Open, close that. Who's Eating Good with Gabe Davis, who Gabe Davis, Jay, is kind of the king of Who's Eating Good because when he has a good game, it's a monstrous game. The problem is it's kind of not even a coin flip. It's one out of every three, four, five. So Gabe Davis comes off a week where he has four catches, 130 yards, and a touchdown, but in a fantasy championship scenario, this is a boom or bust player.
Yeah, he's the definition of boom or bust. I mean, two of the past three games, he hasn't had a catch. And then he goes 4 for 130 and a touchdown. He's highly dependent on these Josh Allen Superman plays, like that long touchdown bomb that we just saw against the Chargers. And he was magnificent in that game. And either side of the catchless games, he has 130 and 105 yards. Now, I do think it's a favorable matchup against New England because New England right now has the best run defense in the NFL and a pass defense that doesn't stack up. So I suspect the Bills will have to throw. But there's just no rhyme or reason. Any week, he's the most boom or bust player in the NFL right now, Gabe Davis. So I don't think you can trust him. If you're in a matchup where you're at a disadvantage and you need variance, then he's fantastic. Plug him in. But if you're the favorite in a championship round matchup, you probably have better options, a guy who has a higher floor.
Yeah, it'd be the coldest day in hell if I'm in a fantasy championship and I'm starting a receiver that plays with Josh Allen, who's only had three 100-yard games this season. When he scores a touchdown this season, he averages almost 20 fantasy points per game. That's very good. When he doesn't score a touchdown, he averages 2.4 fantasy points per game. So if you're in that fantasy championship and you're thinking to yourself, can Gabe Davis get a touchdown? If you feel like he can, you'll be okay. If you feel like he will not get a touchdown, don't do it. Please don't do it.
I think it just comes down to kind of what you hinted at, Jay. If you're in a matchup that you're down projection 25 points and you have a floor player that's projected for 10 and Gabe Davis, you got to start Gabe Davis. But the reality is if you're in a fantasy championship, barring a miracle, you're probably projected pretty closely where you'd prefer to sit him.
Yeah, and again, it's like he's a boom or bust, but it's like boom, bust, 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 bust,
yes.
Boom. The booms be big, and when you know when he booms, he's getting that long touchdown catch, and then you can finally breathe easy. But do you really want to sweat out 3.5 quarters? Now, that's a relief when he does it, you know. Only if you absolutely have to. Like, you'd have to be injury riddled, and we're getting receivers. We've starting to get receivers back healthy, so hopefully you don't have to sweat that out. But if you do, you need the touchdown.
Yeah, I think it's like, it's compared to like Deontay Johnson or something. Like, Deontay Johnson has so little ceiling with Mason Rudolph, with the fact that he just doesn't score touchdowns, the deep shots go to George Pickens. Gabe Davis, if you're the favorite, then start Deontay Johnson probably. And if you're the underdog, then you might want to start Gabe Davis.
interested in betting the games this weekend and want a little more insight, Jay and Drew Dinzik have you covered with Bet the Edge, with new episodes dropping every weekday at 6 a.m. Eastern. Not only do they tackle key NFL matchups, but they also discuss college football bowl season, the NBA, and more. So whether you're targeting spreads and totals, looking for value in futures markets, or circling player props, Jay and Drew have you covered. We're taking our first break when we're back. How confident do we feel starting Devon Achan, Stephon Diggs, and George Pickens? The answer is next. Keep it open or close it out.
Wherever the road may take you, Discount Tire and Continental Tire get you there safely with the perfect combination of style, comfort, and price. Get a set of Continental tires at your local Discount Tire store or online at discounttire.com. Discount Tire, let's get you taken care of.
Vanguard is working hard to balance opportunity and risk for investors in this time of volatile yields. We know financial advisors are working hard to do the same. Visit vanguard.com/fixed income today. Important information. All investing is subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. Bond funds are subject to the risk that an issuer will fail to make payments on time and that bond prices will decline because of rising interest rates or negative perceptions of an issuer's ability to make payments. Vanguard Marketing Corporation, distributor.
Find another way to celebrate the holiday season by being a part of Premier League Festive Fixtures. We are in the midst of 29 matches over 13 days on NBC, USA, and Peacock. So wrap up 2023 by checking out all the thrilling moments across the pond. From creative set pieces to scorching shots and amazing saves, it's the gift that keeps on giving.
Sometimes as a coach that you can try to will things into existence. And you can kind of, like, one of my starting points of how I just view this whole game is, like, I have a job to do to put people in position to succeed. But, like, I never am responsible for the results that are good. Like, I could call a terrible play and it works. Or I could call the perfect play and it doesn't work. It's the players and putting them in position for success.
Keep it open or close it out. That was Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel.
Good guy. You know, he just letting you know that he calls plays.
Oh, yeah. My God. He just goes sometimes. And you never really know where you're going to end up.
His hard knock speech where he was self-critiquing his own garbage play calls against the Titans is must-watch television. Yeah, he is truly a national treasure, Mike McDaniel.
A character, that Mike McDaniel. All right, keep it open or close it out, as we always do on Wednesdays here at the Happy Hour Bar. Our version of Start, Sit, and Lawrence. Who would think during championship week our keep it open or close it out top name would be Joe Flacco against the Jets?
Yeah.
And he actually comes in as QB22 for Matthew this week. Where does he come in for you?
For me, this particular week, he comes in at quarterback 19. Liked him a lot last week. Much different matchup there against the Texans. 300 passing yards and at least 2 touchdowns in 3 straight games. He's thrown the ball at least 42 times in all 4 of his starts since becoming the Cleveland Browns' new franchise quarterback. However, the Jets have allowed under 10 fantasy points to quarterbacks in 4 of their last 5 games. The important thing here is even when the Jets do give up something on defense, fantasy-wise, they're not giving points to quarterbacks. Like, we just saw Tua have a good, real football game against the New York Jets, but Tua was outside of quarterback 15 in fantasy. So be weary of that. If you're in the championship super flex, you're probably having to start him just with the volume alone. But if we're talking about a one quarterback league, I'd actually roll with somebody like Baker Mayfield over Joe Flacco this week, so I'm closing it out.
Yeah, I think we need to pump the brakes a little bit on Flacco, and I understand, I say that acknowledging that he was magnificent against Houston. He was better than his stat line, and his stat line is pretty freaking good. But he's done this against defenses like Houston, who are missing half their defense, the Rams, who don't have a great defense, the Jags, who are really floundering, and against the Bears, he really struggled. But what Flacco is giving you, he's just giving you sheer volume. He's giving you sheer pass attempts. But against the Jets defense, this is a substantially better pass defense than any he has played, including Chicago. So I wouldn't be expecting efficiency, but you can probably do worse just because you can be confident he's going to drop back 35 times at least.
Right. I think you brought up a good point, Lawrence, that Superflex at this point, you know, where else are you going to go right now? Yeah. But another thing to kind of piggyback off what you said, the Jets are a chaotic combination to start quarterbacks against because the defense is really good. Okay, great quarterbacks can overcome that. The Jets' offense is usually horrific to the point where the game script doesn't really match that opposing quarterback needs to drop back and throw. Now, with Flacco and the Browns offense, we've seen that they don't care. Yeah. They're willing
to do
not
care.
But I think you're almost relying on Trevor Siemian to go out there and get 14 to 17 points against the Browns' defense for Flacco to have the game script to be productive from a fantasy perspective, and I don't see that from Siemian in this one.
That too.
I agree.
Yeah, that's an important thing too. If they can't stay on the field, because you know they're going to keep everything underneath. Every pass they thrown the Jets in Week 16 was short to intermediate. So if that's not moving the chains like it did against the Commanders, well then like you said, maybe Flacco finally doesn't throw the ball 50 times.
Our next one, Ty Chandler against a Joe Barry Packers defense, Jay, that has just had some really bad outings against struggling quarterbacks at this point. And Chandler, he's had his moments in this Minnesota offense this year.
Yeah, I would keep it open on Ty Chandler. Now, he struggled a bit more against the Lions. He struggled in pass protection in particular, but I don't think they really have another option. And this is mainly just a reflection of Green Bay's run defense, which has been absolutely atrocious this year. I think back particularly to that Monday night game against the Giants where Saquon and the great, now since departed, Tommy DeVito just eviscerated them on the ground. So I think he can feel confident enough in the matchup, even if though he's probably not going to do what he did against Cincinnati, for instance.
Yeah, it could be something that was in between what he did against the Lions and what he did the week prior there when he was one of the top backs. Over the last 4 weeks, Green Bay, you mentioned their running defense, their bottom five run defense the past 4 weeks, and prior to Week 16, Green Bay has allowed 100 plus rushing yards to running backs in four straight games. So the beauty of this, and we saw Alexander Mattison back, that's key too. He didn't come back, and they didn't split touches or nothing like that. Ty Chandler in for 75% of the team's rushes over the last 2 weeks, including when Mattison was in the backfield. So I think it's clear they want to roll with him here on out. We still got to see what they're going to do at quarterback. I'm going to keep it open at Ty Chandler. This week I have him as running back 24, so that's lower end running back 2.
Good bounce back spot for Ty Chandler after a tough week. Our next one, Devon Achane. Back-to-back games with single-digit fantasy points for Achane, Lawrence. But the reality is, the last time Jaylen Waddle was out, Achane ran absolutely wild in Week 3 against the Broncos. Jaylen Waddle probably out this week.
Yeah, they said they won't rule him out, but it's a high ankle sprain.
He's not playing.
And it's hard to when you're cutting that. That's hard. Devon Achane, while it's tough to envision him running for 203 yards against the Ravens like he did in Week 3 against the Broncos. But, Raheem Mostert's a little banged up, too. He's no sure thing. He was in and out of the game. 14.3% target share in that game a while back. But even recently, Devon Achane looks to be – he's been the guy they want to rely on in the receiving game. Out of the backfield. So you mentioned Waddle more than likely being out. We'll still have to see what happens with that, but they'll just need another playmaker. So without Waddle, you got Tyreek Hill. Now you got to look to Achane to just create more plays, and Tua has shown he'll throw it over the top for him. I got him at running back 23, which means I'm keeping it open for Devon Achane.
Yep, no, I'm with you. I'd keep it open as well. Just in the past 3 minutes, it's come out, Cameron Wolf reporting via Mike McDaniel, that Jaylen Waddle's high ankle sprain is not overly severe. You guys remember the good old days where a high ankle sprain was like 4 to 6 weeks?
Yeah.
And now these high ankle sprains keep getting lower and lower and lower.
Yeah.
But regardless, you wouldn't expect that he's going to be 100% if he does play, which I agree with you, Connor, would seem to be still in some doubt. But the one thing is with Achane is that this Ravens defense, statistically, they don't allow many yards to running backs. That's just because they're winning every game. They're always leading, so you're never in a game script when you can run. When they actually do, when teams do run against the Ravens are only 18th in run defense efficiency. They're much better as a pass defense. So I think the Dolphins, they will be able to run. This Ravens defense in the past has struggled with speed. I think about what happened when the Dolphins played the Ravens last year.
Yes.
You guys remember that? When the Tua and Tyreek and Waddle just lit them up in the fourth quarter? And so I think that Achane and Tyreek can potentially replicate some of that. So I would be, again, he's like, Achane is like a rich man's running back version of Gabe Davis, where he is the home run shot. Yeah.
Our first pass catcher today, guys, Devontae Adams. While things have been really good for the Raiders in the Antonio Pierce era, Devontae Adams hasn't always been a part of that. Jay, coming off a week where he had one catch for 4 yards, where the Raiders, a lot of it was their defense. They had a great game against the Chiefs. Hasn't really been the Devontae show for the Raiders.
No, but I think you still have to start Devontae Adams.
Right.
He's still Devontae Adams, even though be a bit scared of the matchup in that the Colts... So the Colts can't tackle anyone right now. Their run defense, even with Grover Stewart back, if you get past Grover Stewart, then no one is tackling you on that team. The amount of missed tackles against the Falcons was completely absurd. So I think that with the success that the Raiders had running the ball against the Chiefs, they will lean on that again. But still, it's still Devontae Adams. I think you have to start him no matter what.
Yeah, I think that game, you know, the games change each and every week. You find different ways to win every week, and the way that the Raiders found a way to win was to play defense and not complete passes in the final three quarters against the Chiefs there. Adams still has had a 30-plus percent target share in three straight games, and prior to this one-catch, four-yard game, Adams had seven or more receptions in three of his last four games. So against an Indiana, against the Indianapolis Colts defense, who middle of the pack when it comes to pass defense, you can't possibly expect Aiden O'Connell to do exactly that unless they're just playing, again, phenomenal defense to where they don't have to do anything. But Devontae Adams, you cannot put him on your bench this week. We're keeping that open. I got him as wide receiver 13 this week.
All right, our next one, Stephon Diggs. I mean, this is the craziest number you'll hear today, but Stephon Diggs, one game with 50-plus receiving yards since week 10, Lawrence. I don't know if he's hurt. I don't know if it's just Joe Brady's taken over and the offense has been diversified a couple other places like James Cook. But this is not the Stephon Diggs we've come to love that dominates in fantasy every single year.
You know, going to keep it open for one, but have him as wide receiver 17, which you're still starting a wide receiver 17, even if it's Stephon Diggs. It's the lowest I've ranked him probably since his rookie year or something. But the Bills are just finding different ways to win against the Cowboys. Josh Allen only threw for 94 yards. Well, you didn't have to throw the ball to Stephon Diggs when James Cook was running all over him. He has had a 38% target share in back-to-back games, so it's not like he's hurting for targets. Him and Josh Allen just seem to be at a disconnect, and we got to know at some point this is going to work, but we're one game from the last game, and this is the fantasy championship, and people want to know, like, can I start him or who should I start? Zay Jones or Parker Washington or someone? Like, no. Definitely don't start Gabe Davis over Stephon Diggs. Like, don't get that crazy. You just got to hope for the best and know that because the target share is there, you know, like, it's coming, even if it's the fantasy championship.
Jay, you'd think this is a game where you'd need him, though. New England isn't allowing anybody to run on them.
Yeah, you can't run on New England. And we saw that the Bills, they really leaned into the run against Dallas. You can't do that against New England. You can't have that success, at least. Nothing that the New England run defense has shown lately would suggest that. I think with Diggs, I don't want to speculate without any information, but I will and say that he just can't be right physically. He played 33 out of 55 snaps against the Chargers. Gabe Davis played 47. That just makes no sense whatsoever. He's been taken off the field on key third downs, particularly in that game against the Eagles. Now, I will say, It's still Stephon Diggs. If Josh Allen places that interception to Gilman a little bit better, that's an 87-yard touchdown for Stephon Diggs in that game. And we're talking about him in a completely different light. So I think same thing as Davante Adams. The pedigree, the skill level is just too high. You have to start Diggs, but can't do it with a great deal of confidence.
If you've made it this far, there's a good chance George Pickens helped you with that. Season-high 35.5 fantasy points last week. And the best part, Jay, it was with Mason Rudolph. Can he keep this going against Seattle?
No, I wouldn't have thought so. I'd be closing it out on George Pickens. I understand that he had the magnificent game against the Bengals, but again, that's the epitome of George Pickens, who is that same archetype as Gabe Davis, where he needs to break these massive touchdown gains to be able to provide value. And as you can see, Matthew ranks him as wide receiver 35. Just behind Jaxon Smith-Njigba playing in that game against Seattle. And also, I don't believe in Mason Rudolph. I don't think Mason Rudolph is very good. And so I would be shutting it down on George Pickens.
Yeah, Matthew has him at 35. I actually have George Pickens at wide receiver 40 this week. But congrats to you if you had the stones to start George Pickens in his first game with Mason Rudolph starting. 34% of his total fantasy points this whole season have come from his 5 touchdowns. So that's not something you want to depend on in a fantasy championship. Jay, like you mentioned, we kind of parallel the situation to a Gabe Davis. Now, I believe George Pickens is a better talent at the position than a Gabe Davis, but just due to the situation and basically for the whole season, really, at the quarterback position for Pittsburgh. Again, this is another team who could be looking for another quarterback at some point. At that point, you'll see George Pickens elevate, but for week 17 in your fantasy championship, he's got to watch from your bench.
Speaking of looking for a quarterback, Drake London of the Falcons, under 7 fantasy points in 3 of his past 4 games, Lawrence. And an even bigger problem, he has not scored a touchdown since week 4. Where do you rank him this week?
Yeah, not much further than George Pickens at wide receiver 38. He's another one, you know, he can make the acrobatic catch, great body control there. But the problem is, the Falcons won this game with Taylor Heineke handedly, quite frankly, and Drake London just wasn't involved there. You see him 3 for 39. He's got the one blow-up game there a few weeks back against the Buccaneers, but this is kind of Gabe Davis territory as well. If you're looking at the numbers on the screen here, he's got 5 or fewer targets in 3 of his last 4 games. It's crazy to think that as good as he is, he's only had 2 games this season with double-digit fantasy points. So this week, my man Drake London, I almost said Drake May.
We're shutting it down on Drake May as well. So he's not playing in the NFL.
Yeah, he's not playing in the bowl game. But I'm going to close it out on Drake London this week.
Yep, I agree. I would close it down too. So since week 8, the Bears have the number 4 defense in the NFL. By the way, you know it's the number 1 defense in the NFL since week 8? The Las Vegas Raiders, which is stunning, but they're playing at a really high level. But the Bears, for a while, they were kind of a pass funnel defense, elite run D, more suspect pass defense. That has changed now. Now they're just a really good defense overall. They've been the number 8 pass defense since week 8. And Jalen Johnson, see, the best cornerback in the NFL? He's in that discussion.
He's due to get paid. Yeah. Pretty good timing.
He's going to get paid
playing
like
some
it.
Ball. He's so definitely playing some ball.
You get that matchup against Drake London. Also, the Falcons, I think they kind of rediscovered their identity a bit against the Colts. They're a team that wants to run the ball and wants to run it relentlessly. And even though it's a tough Bears run defense, I think they would rather take their chances against that than Heineke throwing against Jalen Johnson and co.
All right, let's recap Matthew's keep it open or close it out rankings. Joe Flacco against the Jets, QB22, that's a close. But as Lawrence said, if you're in Superflex, you probably don't have anywhere else to go. So that's a fringe one there. Ty Chandler against the Packers, RB25, that remains open. Devon Achane against the Ravens is open as RB26 when you go back to what he was able to do without Jalen Waddle in week 3. Devonte Adams against the Colts, still a top 20 play, wide receiver 18, that stays open. Same with Stephon Diggs against New England, who's not allowing anything on the ground. The Bills will have to throw. Diggs comes in as wide receiver 15 and open. George Pickens against the Seahawks, that's a close at wide receiver 35. And Drake London, who has had an up-and-down season largely because of what's gone on under center for the Falcons, he's wide receiver 39 for Matthew. That's a close as well. We are taking one more break. When we're back, it's last call. We'll tell you what we have circled on our card this weekend, right after this.
Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Vanguard is working hard to balance opportunity and risk for investors in this time of volatile yields. We know financial advisors are working hard to do the same. Visit vanguard.com/fixed income today. Important information. All investing is subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. Bond funds are subject to the risk that an issuer will fail to make payments on time and that bond prices will decline because of rising interest rates or negative perceptions of an issuer's ability to make payments. Vanguard Marketing Corporation, distributor.
Don't forget on DraftKings Sportsbook this season, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $150 in bonus bets instantly, plus all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code Barry when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. It is time for Last Call, and on Wednesdays, we take a little early peek at the spreads and totals. Jay, what caught your eye in the opens this week?
So the big one for me is the biggest game of the week, I think, which is Dolphins-Ravens. The Ravens are 3.5-point favorites. The total is 47. I think that total is a bit high. I would take the under there. And I would also take the Dolphins plus 3.5. Now, there's a lot of injury stuff just swirling around this game between Jalen Waddle, between Javon Holland, who's been the best player on the Dolphins defense this season, along with Jalen Ramsey, and then also can they get Robert Hunt back on the offensive line? And then on Baltimore's side, they're banged up at O-line too. Patrick McCurry came out of the game, but the big one there is Kyle Hamilton, who seemed to go down with a serious knee injury at the time. Seems like it's not that serious, but if he's out, he's the best guy on that defense. He's their most important player on defense, I think. You could argue Roquan Smith, but Hamilton's huge down. If he is out, just thinking about what happened when the Dolphins played the Ravens last year, and this Dolphins defense is just playing at a really high level at the moment. It was really tough sledding for Dak Prescott all game for the Cowboys in that one. So I think that this line should be 3, 2.5, and 3.5. I certainly lean Dolphins.
I'm with you. Lawrence, what are you looking at?
I'm looking at this Patriots and Bills game. We know that the Bills have to win out. They want the playoffs, and they want to win that AFC East in Week 18. But I like the Patriots to cover the 12 here. You saw them get the win. You saw the Patriots get the win over Denver last week, which we would all agree that Denver was a superior team coming in. But then the Patriots also played the Chiefs well a week prior to that. So they're, as a team, they're playing better ball, and it's because of their defense. You talked earlier about their run defense. That's top two in the league. The pass defense, not as good, but still middle of the pack. Overall, the eighth best defense in football right now. We just saw the Bills, you know, kick a almost last second field goal to beat the Chargers. The week prior to that, they did dominate the Cowboys. It was all in the run game. And versus the Chiefs a week before that, the Bills, if Kadarius Toney lines up on the right side of the ball, then, well, the Bills lose that game. So I think it's definitely inside double digits. So with the number being 12, I like the Patriots, who are playing some tight defense. I like them to cover that 12.
Yep. I thought Bailey Zappi was really solid against the Broncos as well, against the pass defense that has been improved. A lot of interesting MVP repercussions out of that game too, Patriots-Bills, because, look, if Lamar Jackson, if he beats Miami, then it's a wrap. Then he will win.
And it won't even matter what Lamar's stats is, because he won't have to play Week 18.
Agreed. So if he wins that, then I think it's over. If he loses that game, though, and the Dolphins are plus 145 on the money line, there's a 35 to 40% chance that they do lose that game, then that market is complete chaos, because then Lamar's lost grip of the number one seed. His stats have never stacked up to these guys. It's always his case has been the overall impact and what you can't see, but a lot of that is tied to winning and being the number one seed. And so if he loses that game, then I think Josh Allen If he beats the Patriots, he beats the Dolphins in Week 18, then all of a sudden, like, he's got the most total touchdowns in the NFL by far. He's top 2-3 in every advanced quarterback metric. He will have finished the season on a 5-game winning streak while Lamar has floundered. So I think that Allen, just because someone has to be the second favorite in this award.
If it goes exactly like that, Josh Allen is going to win.
Yep. And so that's why he's 13-1 on DraftKings right now. I think he should be half that price. Now, Lamar very likely wins the award. He should be the favorite. I think minus 170 is a perfectly fair price, but someone has to be the second favorite, and I think it's Josh Allen.
Yeah, I think a lot of people right now are looking, where do I hedge if I had a preseason ticket on Lamar Jackson? And I agree with you, Jay. The answer is on Josh Allen, especially.
What about CMC? Like, because he still had a good game despite the loss. That's who I was going to hedge on, because it's still a good price.
If this chaos scenario emerges and Lamar loses to Miami, I think the guy more likely is Tyreek Hill, because Tyreek Hill will have just beaten Lamar, then he could beat Josh Allen in Buffalo in Week 18, clinch the one seed. I think CMC gets live in that scenario, but I think Tyreek might have it over him.
All right, guys, for me, I'm going with the Lions covering the 6 points against the Cowboys covering against the Lions. They are 6-point favorites, and you might see that and go, God, the Lions are a good team. How is Dallas favored by 6 points in this one? They are a totally different beast at home. They're on a 15-game home win streak in the NFL. That's the longest right now in the league. 280-point differential during this streak. In their 7 home games this season, Dallas has won 6 of them by 20 or more points. They're not winning at home. They are dominating at home. They are averaging 40 points per game while at home. That is first in the NFL. So while this looks disrespectful to Dan Campbell's Lions, the Cowboys are a different beast when they are home.
Yep. No, I agree there. Lions defense is going to have a tough time in that game.
Very tough time. Yeah. That is it for us. Matthew will be back tomorrow, because it is love-hate day for Lawrence, for Jay. I'm Connor. See you tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern time on Peacock.
Bring on spring projects with Spring Black Friday Savings from The Home Depot. With free delivery on over 2 million items, you can bring on the spring cleaning, the patio decorating, and the front yard gardening. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Bring on the spring doing and spring your way only at The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Vanguard is working hard to balance opportunity and risk for investors in this time of volatile yields. We know financial advisors are working hard to do the same. Visit vanguard.com/fixed income today. Important information: all investing is subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. Bond funds are subject to the risk that an issuer will fail to make payments on time, and that bond prices will decline because of rising interest rates or negative perceptions of an issuer's ability to make payments. Vanguard Marketing Corporation, distributor.